You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. It's my prayer that as you receive this message right now, that the tangible power of the Holy Spirit would come right through that device or however you're listening and fill the place that you are in. I pray that you experience the power of the Holy Spirit such as you never have before. I'm going to teach a message on the tangible power of God, and then I'm going to pray with you that you receive that fresh touch of God's Holy Spirit's power right here, right now. So, as I said, I'm talking about the tangible power of the Holy Spirit, or the tangible anointing. Now, when I say tangible, I mean physical. I mean the manifested power of God that can be sensed upon your physical body. And while I'm going to be teaching on the tangible power of God, it's important that you remember that feeling God's presence isn't as important as believing that the presence of God is with you. We go by faith and not by feelings. So in no way am I trying to create this emphasis on feelings and physical sensations that we shouldn't have. But still, I think it is important to address the fact that the power of the Holy Spirit can be tangible. The anointing can be tangible. That is the power of God. You can physically feel the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've ever been to one of our services, then you know that the power of the Holy Spirit can be felt tangibly. During the worship, as we're seeking the face of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit will become manifested to such a degree that people begin to feel Him all over the room. Some people describe a weight coming on them. Some people feel heat coming on them. Some people even feel like electricity pulsing up and down their bodies. And when it gets especially intense at those services, people report not even being able to get near to the platform. The ushers, my ministry team, will tell you that when the anointing becomes that tangible, they feel something emanating off of me, off of the platform. Now, I'm by no means saying that this has anything to do with me. I like to say that it's not me, it's who's around me. There's not something special about me, there's someone special about me, and that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. But still, in those services, when I feel the tangible power of God come on my physical body, I can feel the heat emanating off of me. I can feel like electricity emanating off of me. And people who come onto the platform say that the moment they step on the platform, they have trouble standing. Their body begins to tremble. They can feel the weight coming onto them. Now, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of man. No man should get the glory. It's the manifested presence of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, feelings themselves should not be our pursuit. We should not go after feelings as if they're important to our relationship with God. But you do have to realize that when you pursue the presence of the Lord, when you pursue an audience with God, when you pursue a deeper relationship with Him, there will be moments where the presence of the Holy Spirit manifests tangibly. And as if I haven't emphasized it enough already, I do want to emphasize again that feelings are not the goal, but you will sense the presence of the Holy Spirit at certain moments, especially in certain times where the power of God is manifested. Now, you'll sometimes feel Him and sometimes you won't, but this doesn't mean that His power comes and goes. It just means that it's revealed and then concealed. It's manifested, and then it goes back to the place where we are not feeling it. So the power of the Holy Spirit is in us. The power of the Holy Spirit is all around us everywhere we go because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But there are those moments when the power becomes physically felt, and that's called a power manifestation, meaning that power becomes tangible. We become aware of that power, which is already there. Now, I do need to tell you, though, that sometimes people are so desperate to experience the power of God that their desire for an encounter with the tangible power of God can itself become a distraction and an obstruction to receiving an encounter with the Lord. So again, I say, the presence of the Holy Spirit abides with you. He does not come and go. He remains in you faithfully. Jesus said, I'll send you another, and He will never leave you. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes onto a life and dwells in you, and He does not come and go. But then there are moments where you become more aware of His presence, and in those moments of keen awareness in the Spirit, you can physically begin to feel His power. And again, this is not an emphasis that I have overall, but this is what I'm teaching on right now, which is why I'm talking about it. Some people might say, well, why are you focusing on that if it's not the purpose? It's because I want to show you that it's biblical and I'm addressing the topic. And because I'm addressing the topic, obviously I have to talk about these things. And it is important that we know that these encounters are available to us along our spiritual journey. So, first of all, we see this happen with Elisha's bones. And this is found in 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Listen to this. Then Elisha died and was buried. Groups of Moabite raiders used to invade the land each spring. Once, when some Israelites were burying a man, they spied a band of these raiders. So they hastily threw the corpse into the tomb of Elisha and fled. But as soon as the body touched Elisha's bones, the dead man revived and jumped to his feet. So Elisha's bones carried the tangible power of God, that residue of God's power. Now, by no means am I endorsing this term that people use called grave sucking, where you go to somebody's grave and you receive an anointing. Listen, I don't receive an anointing from a graveyard. I receive an anointing from a throne room, from on high. It comes from the Lord, not from the grave. But still, there is a tangible touch upon physical things. There is a residue of the Holy Spirit's power. You don't receive the call of God from a tangible thing. You don't receive the anointing from a tangible thing, but still they can manifest certain powers, and this is biblical. I'll show you a New Testament reference of this. If you go to Acts chapter 5, verse number 15, the Bible very clearly shows us a picture of the tangible anointing at work. Watch this. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. There we see something physically happening with Peter's shadow. Now, I don't necessarily believe that it was Peter's shadow that healed the people. It was the nearness of Peter's physical presence that brought about healing. The Bible never says, if you read it carefully, that Peter's shadow healed. It says that the people thought his shadow healed. Now, what would make the people think that Peter's shadow could heal? The fact that the presence of Jesus, the healing anointing, was so strong on him that when people got near to him, that power jumped off of him and touched them. The same thing happened with handkerchiefs in the Bible. Acts 19, verses 11 and 12 say, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. So that anointing was so strong on Paul that they would place handkerchiefs on him, and when those handkerchiefs would touch his skin, they would carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they would place those handkerchiefs on people. People would get healed just by touching those. People would have demons driven out of them just by touching those handkerchiefs. Jesus himself felt power, physical power, go out from him when he healed a woman with the issue of blood. In Mark chapter 5, verse 28, the Bible says, "For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition." Verse 30, watch this. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around into the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" Jesus felt the healing virtue flow out of his physical body. The Bible tells us to anoint each other when praying for the sick with oil. Look at James. "Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well, and if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven." Of course, the oil itself is not the source of the power, but it is what God told us to use when transferring the power. Power can be transferred. There's this story that inspired me when I was first learning about the greats who God used in the healing ministry. And this story is concerning Smith Wigglesworth. Now, there are many different versions of this account, but all of the accounts basically reflect the same occurrence. So while the details might vary, I am giving you an accurate account of what happened in general. So Smith Wigglesworth comes into town. He's preaching this revival. And he's looking for a place where he can be hosted so that he can stay and have somewhere to sleep while he's hosting this meeting. And this woman offers her home. And of course, she welcomes him in. She says, "You can stay with my husband and I. We have a room. We'll give up our bed for you. Go ahead and stay in there." The husband was not too happy about this. He wasn't even a believer. But the wife convinced the husband, "Let's let this man of God stay in our home and let's show him hospitality." So Smith Wigglesworth stays with this couple. He takes their bed. They sleep in some other room. He preaches those revival services. And then the revival finally comes to an end, and Smith Wigglesworth says his goodbyes and begins to leave that home. The woman goes down the street chasing after him, saying, "Sir, you can't leave yet. My husband still isn't saved. I need you to minister to him. I need you to pray for him. I need some type of miracle because my husband has yet to receive Christ, and he's very, very stubborn." So she's pleading with him. She's begging him, "Please, please help me. I need this miracle. I need my husband to come to the Lord." And Smith Wigglesworth, the story goes, doesn't even completely turn around. But as he's walking away, he just sort of glances over his shoulder and he tells the woman, "Don't change the sheets." And he kept going. She didn't know what he meant by that. So she just goes home and by faith obeys the man of God. She doesn't change the sheets. And Smith Wigglesworth, of course, had stayed in their bed. Now that night, her husband had a dream about hell. And he told her, "I feel like I'm being dragged to hell. I feel like I'm being tormented." He was able to feel the flames coming over him. He got down on his knees and gave his heart to the Lord. He got saved right then and there that night. And that was because of the tangible anointing that was left in their room. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible shows us that even spiritual gifts are somewhat tangible. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when? When I laid my hands on you. There's a tangible transfer that takes place. Now, even though we know there's a tangible transfer that takes place in the Spirit, we have to be very careful to reverence the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. There have been those who've taken this concept, this holy, sacred concept concerning the anointing, and they have tried to use it as a marketing scheme to raise funds. But the anointing is not for sale. You cannot pay a registration fee, go to a conference, and then walk out of that conference with the anointing. You cannot buy an e-course online and then receive the anointing. You cannot pay with your credit card for some certification program and then be ordained and then receive the anointing to be a minister. The anointing is not for sale. And anytime you try to exchange the supernatural by monetary or otherwise transferring it through financial gain, then that is sorcery. Sorcery is the exchange of the supernatural for the financial. And we see an example of someone attempting to do this in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse number 19, I'll read. The Bible says, "Let me have this power." This is Simon the sorcerer coming to the apostles when he saw that the power of the Holy Spirit came upon people when they laid their hands on people. Verse 19, "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed, "so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought." So here this man, he witnesses Peter laying hands on people. And when Peter laid hands on people, they received the Holy Ghost. Simon the sorcerer watches this. He's witnessing all of this wonderful display of God's power in action. And he says to himself, "I have to have that." And so he goes and he offers Peter money in exchange for the Holy Spirit. And Peter rebukes him. Look what verse 22 says, "Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you of your evil thoughts." That's how big of an issue it was that he said, "Perhaps God will forgive you of your evil thoughts." So we have to be careful and balance this out and recognize that though the anointing is tangible, that we not try to make it some marketable thing. That's where we must draw the line and say no to such nonsense. That is witchcraft. That's demonic. It's irreverent, and we shouldn't allow it. Instead, we must cherish the anointing. We must cherish this power. We must recognize that God's healing touch, God's delivering touch, God's convicting touch can be transferred through the physical, can be transferred through our physical bodies. It can go out of my mouth into this microphone and right through your ears. And as you hear this, as you receive this message, the anointing that's here can be transferred to you right where you are. I remember one time I had laid my Bible down. I went to a youth conference and I laid my Bible down on a seat so that I could save my seat. I went to go get a drink of water or something like that. And I came back and there was a girl in our youth group who had grabbed my Bible and brought it to me. She thought I lost it or forgot it. And she came to me, she said, "Hey, I saw your Bible on the seat and I wanted to bring it to you to make sure you didn't lose it." I took it back. I said, "Thank you. No, I was actually saving my seat, but I appreciate you thinking of me in that way." And she said, "Yes, you're welcome, but I have something else to tell you." I said, "What?" She said, "Well, when I went to go grab your Bible from the seat, I felt like this tingling sensation come up my arms." She said, "So I put the Bible down right away, but then I mustered up the courage to pick it up again and bring it to you." She said, "I physically felt the power of God when I grabbed your Bible. That was the Bible I used when I would lock myself in my room and pray for hours a day." That is the tangible transfer of God's power. I remember in school when I would go and pray on my lunch break for a whole hour, the whole hour of lunch, sometimes I would dedicate to just prayer. I would come out of that prayer room. I remember one instance in particular. I came out of the prayer room and I gave one of my friends a simple greeting. It was just like a little handshake, hello. And when I gave him that greeting, the power of God hit him. He fell on the floor in the classroom before class started. He gets back up. He goes, "What was that?" And I had to explain to him what the tangible power of God is. I'm telling you, believer, this is real. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And God can use it to touch your life right now. I don't have to be with you in the room because the Holy Spirit is with you in the room. And this transfer takes place by faith. And so right now, I want you by faith to receive your healing. I want you by faith to receive your deliverance. I want you by faith to receive anything that you need from the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, let's agree right now. Father, in the name of the one whom I serve, I, your servant now, I, your son now, release the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, you take a portion of that which has been placed on my life. And I ask you, Father, to transfer it. Let them receive according to the measure of their faith. I rebuke sickness and disease right now in the name of Jesus. I pray complete and total healing begin to flow. Let that healing virtue from on high begin to move through my hands, through my voice, touch that one receiving now. And I ask you, Lord, to send forth deliverance, break addictions, break cycles of sin habits, break drug addictions, I pray, in the name of Jesus, break alcohol addictions in the name of Jesus, break pornography addictions in the name of Jesus, break food addictions in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray deliverance now for those struggling with self-harm, those struggling with depression, those struggling with anxiety. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, your convicting power even begin to flow. Let that mighty river of the Holy Spirit's power flow through me. Touch each one receiving now, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Let it flow like a river. In Jesus' name. I want you to say it because you agree. Say amen. I don't know about you, but I sense the atmosphere shift right now. And I know that the Lord is doing something in you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. Don't be skeptical. Just receive it.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.